This week, December 24th, 2013, on The Digital Story. 5 holiday photo tips. Camera Plus for the iPhone. And don't forget long exposures during the holidays. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. We're going to focus on technique today, and that's because for a lot of us, there are some pretty big photo opportunities coming up over the next few days. That's right, it's the holidays. Happy holidays to you and your family and all of your loved ones. And hopefully you'll be able to spend some time with some of them. And if so, let's talk a little bit about getting some good pictures. Now, my 5 holiday photo tips might be a little different than some of the lists that you see around. And that's probably because I'm thinking a little bit more long-term these days. In other words, I'm not thinking so much of, well, you know, make sure that you get close so you have a nice composition sort of stuff. I'm guessing that most of you probably already know that. And a lot of these other sort of basic tips. But there are reminders in terms of looking at, pun intended, the big picture, that I'd like you to keep in mind as you pull out your camera during these times of celebration. So I have 5, maybe they should be reminders instead of tips, or something to keep in mind. Just, you know what, something to keep in mind just doesn't work in the headline as well as tips. So we all kind of know what we're talking about right now. The first one, let's just call it a tip. I'm getting silly here. Let's just call it a tip. The first tip, think portraits as well as activities. Think portraits as well as activities. It's absolutely fun to photograph Uncle Bob slowly, methodically opening his present, or the kids just tearing the wrapping paper off, you know, 100 miles an hour. Those are fun to have. But over the long haul, really, I think what you'll want in addition to those are portraits. Portraits where Uncle Bob is looking at the camera. Portraits where brother and sister are looking at you. Maybe in the setting of the family household, even around the Christmas tree, whatever the environment may be. But get some portraits too, because again, over the long haul, the portraits where you have the subject, the family member, the friend, the loved one looking into the camera, that can go into an album, that can be framed, that can be used to just really remember that person at that place and that time. Sometimes communicates more information and even more emotion than catching them in the middle of an activity, such as opening a gift or something like that. And I'm not saying one instead of the other, but I think a lot of times during the holidays and family gatherings, we focus on the activities and don't stop for a second to capture a portrait. And that portrait can be very casual, but it's just as important, even if it's a casual portrait. So anyway, that's tip number 1. Think portraits as well as activities. Number 2, and this sort of goes along with the first tip, reduce your flash exposure. A lot of times when we're shooting indoors, and especially around the holidays, we'll use our more casual cameras, our compacts, and we'll depend on the flash to sort of carry the day. And there's a very good reason for that because, and I fall in this category too, I don't want to be taking 2 minutes to line up a photo during a family gathering. People don't have the patience for it. That's not why they're there. They are there to celebrate. And so a lot of times I go, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, pull out my compact camera and my Micro Four Thirds with a flash on it and just take snapshots and just enjoy it and go with the flow. And, I think that's a good way to go. However, the thing about flashes that they tend to overexpose a bit, at least the subject. The background can kind of go dark and all that. So I think a really good tip for when we're shooting on the fly and doing these candid shots and trying not to be a geek nerd photographer is go ahead and use the flash on your compact or whatever, but just reduce the flash exposure. Go to flash exposure compensation and just dial it down a bit. Dial it down, negative 2/3 or even negative 1. And then at the same time, while you're in there playing around with the settings, this is before all the action happens, increase your ISO. Go ahead and push it up to 400, 800. I sometimes even go 1600. And the reason why I push up the ISO and draw back the flash exposure is that it changes the dynamics a bit. It changes the balance. Now the flash is literally just a fill flash. It's just bringing a little bit of light in from the front. It helps slow motion a bit, all that kind of stuff. But you have more ambience when you raise the ISO up, and the flash doesn't have to work as hard. It doesn't have to output as much because you've made the sensor more sensitive by raising the ISO. So you get a little bit more ambient feeling, and your flash doesn't work as hard, and you're dialing down the flash, and you'll get a more natural shot. So reduce the flash exposure and increase the ISO a bit. Just go ahead and set it there. Do a test shot or two to make sure that you find the magic combination for the environment you're in. You can do that when everyone is getting there and, just kind of fiddling around. I'll fiddle around with it. Hey, Aunt Jink, take a shot. And go, oh, okay. I look at it and go, oh, you look great. Let me take another one. Really thinking, I kind of missed it on that on my camera setup there. And Jane did great, but a photographer. Get a second shot or a third shot. Then when you feel comfortable with your settings, just leave it there and have fun. Tip number three, get a group shot. Yes, everyone, they'll moan and groan when you go, I want a group shot. They will, well, at least my family does. They just totally moan and groan about, doing this. But here's the thing. Group shots tell so much of a story in just one frame. You see the people that were there at the event together. You see the interaction between them. You get some of the environment. It just tells so much of a story in one shot. There's a reason why we do them at weddings and anniversaries and birthdays, because even though they're kind of a pain in the nose, they really are important, and I think they grow more important over time. So if you can, get a group shot and, try to set it up in an area that's indicative of, where you are. Either outside in front of the house, if the weather allows, in a nice bright area, indoors, around the tree, that sort of thing, where you really get to tell, like if there was only one shot from this day that you were all together at this place, let's say mom's house, then this would be the shot. This would be the shot that you would have. It's like the desert island thing for photography. Only it's not, if I could only bring one camera to a desert island. No. Because you could only bring one camera, it would, it'd have to be a film camera that was mechanical, right? Because you don't get to bring a solar charger. I'm totally digressing here. If you could only have one shot from the day, it would probably be this group shot. Okay, so get a group shot. And just go with it when people moan and groan. And a lot of times, I tell you, it's good to get it before you eat. it's sort of like, a cat. A cat's very playful when they're hungry. Before they play, they'll engage and have fun with you. Once they eat, they're off sleeping in a corner. Well, so is Uncle Bob after the big meal. So you might want to get that group shot before the big meal. Speaking of big meals, we'll go to tip number four here. photograph food and decorations. They are, a lot of times, we'll start with the decorations. A lot of times the decorations and ornaments, candle holders, those sort of things have been in the family for a while or are important to the person hosting the event. And a lot of times, you know, you'll see something in a photo, especially if the photographer was smart enough to get a really pretty shot of, let's say, a candle holder or a snow globe, something like that. And you see it years later and someone still has it. Someone still has it in the family. And they look at the shot from 10 years ago and they go, oh my gosh, you know, Aunt Betty had that out when we were over there, you know, 10 years ago. And we still have it now. That feels good. That is a neat thing. So don't forget to get those decorations and ornaments. And then photograph the food for a couple reasons, I think. One is I think it's an interesting shot. And it, again, you know, what we eat, especially at family gatherings and big gatherings of any type, what we eat, I think it tells a story in itself. But then, you know, someone did a lot of work to prepare that, or usually a lot of people did a lot of work to prepare that. And it sort of honors the cooks, it honors the chefs in the family by, once the food is out, taking a picture of it and saying, you know, this is art. This is art. What you did is beautiful. We're going to enjoy eating it, but it's also beautiful to look at. So I think, you know, photographing food is something that honors the people who prepare it, and at the same time tells a story. It tells a story. And, you know, every household, the food they put out is going to look different than the guy next door. Okay, so that's number four, photograph food and decorations. Number five, the fifth tip, share your images. A lot of times, especially when we're doing friends and family, we'll take all the shots and we'll say, well, you know, I'll put them on my Flickr account, or I'll put them on SmugMug or whatever. You know, a lot of people, especially people who aren't your peers, probably will never go over to your Flickr account or your SmugMug account, or at least not all of them. Maybe some of them will. Because, you know, that's more our world and not necessarily still the world of people that are in our family, or maybe people that we hang out with. And I'm not just talking the older people. It's funny how this works. I know a lot of people a lot younger than me too, who also don't engage in this sort of stuff, who don't have an Instagram account, who don't use Flickr, all that kind of stuff. So the point here about sharing your images is, a lot of times, believe it or not, the best way to share pictures is to send a handful of email attachments directly to people. And the reason being is, first of all, you get to control the size and all of that. So you're not sending something too big, too small. Second, they don't have to do anything, right? They just have to open their email and there they are. And most people know how to save attachments out of their email accounts. If they're using email, they probably know how to do this. And the odds of them seeing the pictures and hanging on to the pictures are greater if you push it to them, instead of sending them a link saying, you know, go here and look at it and download what you want. Then, you know, your percentages of people actually looking at them and hanging on to them are going to go down. And I think it's important also that the family photos, the photos of friends gathering together, go out to these people, because the more hands that is in, the more likely that they'll be around and someone will have access to them. You know, not only this year, but in years to come. So it's good to get them out there. Don't just leave them on your camera, leave them on your hard drive. And even if you do the Flickr thing or the Facebook thing or whatever you happen to do, you can include that link with the pictures in the email. Say, well, here's a handful of the shots, and then here's a link to everything. If you want to go see them, they're there and you can download them. But go ahead and push a few shots out. Maybe just push the group shot out. And then if you got a really nice portrait of the person that you're sending an email to, or someone that's very special to them, go ahead and put those as email attachments. I think more people will get to see the photos and enjoy the photos if you do that. So those are my five holiday tips. I told you they would be different, right? They are different, right? Think portraits as well as activities. Reduce the flash exposure, increase the ISO. Get a group shot. Photograph food and decorations and share your images. Don't just hog them on your computer. Get them out there. You took these pictures, share those pictures. Okay, for our second story, the Nimbleosity Report. And remember, the Nimble Photographer is at thenimblephotographer.com. There I have an ongoing journal. I have walkabout with photos and so forth. Of course, there's the store, right, where you can get all the Nimble Photographer goodies at thenimblephotographer.com. All right, we're going to talk about Camera Plus today because they came out with a new version for the iPhone. And Camera Plus has been, and now more than ever, is one of my favorite camera apps for the iPhone. It's $1.99 in the App Store. And the reason why I like it just in general, and then this release specifically, is that it just makes using the iPhone, and in my case, the iPhone 5S, more like using a real camera, which it is, but you get some of the controls. Now, some of the things that I really like as I'm working with this is I love the way they do the level. They have a level control when you're lining up the shot, and I keep the grid turned on. And, you know, I think getting things squared up with whenever I'm framing on an LCD is a bit of a challenge. It's, for some reason, it's harder for me on an LCD than when looking through an optical or even electronic viewfinder. And the way that they do the level where they just take one of the grid lines and it just, you know, sort of teeter-totters depending on how you have things lined up, I think is really cool. I really like the way they do this. Now, as you're framing the shot, if you hit the gear menu, you have options for a stabilizer, image stabilizer, a timer, burst mode, and then you can turn on square crop too, which is handy. If you know you're going to go directly to Instagram with the shot, then why not go ahead and shoot it with a square crop? So, you know, that's pretty nice. You got a zoomer on the side here. You can turn off and on flash. And, of course, you can go with front camera and back camera. Now, if you hit the settings, you have, you know, more things. I mean, this is where you get to turn on and off the horizontal level, turn on and off geotagging. You have control over the sounds. You have control over the image quality, which I think is super important, you know, so for what you're saving. You know, a lot of handy little things right there are in the settings. And then, of course, once you've taken the shot, you can look at them in the light box, which is really nice. And let's say you see something that you like, you can, you know, do some quick work on it right there. Now, the thing that they've added that's really wonderful with this version is that when you see a picture that you like in your light box that you want to work on, you tap the edit button and you go into edit mode, and you have some nice quick controls, clarity, a few things like that, darken, cloudy. I'm looking at it right now, shade. It's probably why I'm talking like an idiot. You know, stuff like that. But what they've added with this latest version is something called the Lab. And I've tapped on the Lab, and now they have like Clarity Pro, where when you tap on it, you get to set intensity and vibrancy boost. It's not just an on or off thing. You actually have sliders where you can do stuff like that. You have straighten, of course, which is always fun to have. You can do duotones. You have a soft focus setting. You have a film grain setting. You have sharpen and blur, saturation, temperature, exposure, and brightness and contrast. And then my favorite, the one that I just love, is that you have highlights and shadows. When you go to the highlights and shadows control, again, you have sliders. for both the highlight and the shadow detail. And these are really nice. So it's not only an app, Camera Plus, we're talking about here, available in the App Store for $1.99. We're not only talking about an application that I think makes taking pictures easier, but then you can go ahead, just process them right here on your iPhone, do a nice job with the processing, even add a little vignette or something if you want. It has that control. Go ahead, save it to your camera roll, and then you can share it out to wherever you want to go, Flickr, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that. And they do have share functions built in here too, so you could share directly from the app. Usually I will just save it to my camera roll because that my backup is based on my camera roll. That's, if it goes to my camera roll, then I know it's going into Photo Stream. If it goes to my camera roll, I also know that Loom is grabbing it. So, you know, the camera roll sort of, I go there first, and then once it's in the camera roll, then I can share it out to any of the social networks that I want. So anyway, I just think this is a terrific application. Camera Plus, it's $1.99. They've just upgraded it, and this new version, by the way, if you already had Camera Plus, this new version that includes the lab is a free upgrade. And I keep it on there. The other app that I have, I also keep Pro Camera on there. And then I have just the usual camera app. And I like the, you know, Camera Awesome, also by Smug Mug. So, you know, these apps are really good. And I think especially when you're in the mood to play a little bit, like the shot that I put on Smug Mug the other day, it was of a fence. Just an old grape stake fence on the side of a hiking trail. It had been a property once upon a time, that kind of thing. And it was backlit, and I there were some shadows. The stakes were casting some shadows. And I just looked at it. And I knew that I wanted to play with that shot and that it was probably going to be a fun shot when I was done with it. So when I photographed it, all I was really trying to do was make sure that it was sharp and composed well and that I had highlight and shadow information. You know, I just wanted to capture the raw ingredients because I knew I was going to play with the shot. And then I went ahead and played with it. In this case, I played with it in Snapseed on my iPad. Probably, you know, this is something that I do for enjoyment, right? Probably spent 10 minutes playing with it in Snapseed and then went ahead and uploaded it to Instagram. And I think I shared it on my Facebook page too. So I knew when I took the shot that this was going to be something I was going to dink with. And, you know, it was interesting how it finished up and what actually ended up going online was very close to what I was sort of thinking in my brain. And so, you know, knowing that you have these tools, whether it's Camera Plus or Snapseed or iPhoto for iOS, whatever you happen to be using, I think is part of, for me, and you might be completely different on this and just think that, okay, I'm gonna do the old 2X thing on the podcast here and speed up to the next story. But at least in my thinking, it's all part of the photography process. And a lot of times I'm trying to capture, you know, a lot of information in a high quality way. And then knowing that, you know, when I get a chance to sit down, put my feet up for a minute, play with it with these wonderful tools. So anyway, that's Camera Plus. It'll cost you $1.99. It's pretty nice. The lab is pretty cool, I have to say. And it also does work on the iPad. It's not as cool on the iPad because it's not a dedicated iPad app, but it does work. Okay, third story from the Photo Help Desk today at www.photohelpdesk.com. You know, holidays are a great time of year for long exposures, and I think long exposures are always fun shots. People seem to enjoy longings, maybe because it's not something that your average casual photographer dabbles in, but certainly in our skill set, It's very doable and actually kind of fun and not too hard. You get a lot of reward for something that's fairly easy. So I just wanted to remind you that, you know, with the colorful lights and in the interiors and maybe, you know, the parties and all that kind of stuff, great time for long exposures. And there's so much you can do with them. Let's say that you get to go to a New Year's Eve party and it's in a hall. Lots of nice decorations. The lighting's kind of interesting. People are moving around. That's a good long exposure situation, right? Because all the decorations and the interior itself will be nice and sharp, right? It'll look nice and crisp. And then any movement that's happening of people, well, then that kind of turns into this dreamy sort of look. And that's the thing that long exposures can do. They can give you this juxtaposition of something that's crisp and bright and, you know, interesting with something that's moving and soft and you don't even know what it is sometimes. And I like that. So the reason why I'm bringing it up from Photo Help Desk is just, you know, you got to remember to bring your micro tripod, whatever that happens to be. And there's so many good ones out there. And I'm sure you have at least three different ones. Bring one of them, right? Have one of them so that, you know, you have a way to secure your camera, to position your camera. And then in terms of actually tripping the shutter, a lot of cameras these days now, the ones with Wi-Fi, will have a companion app. And you can use the companion app, use your iPhone or your Android phone to control the shutter and so forth. And that's pretty neat. That's if you want to geek out, right? You want to have some fun there. But you don't need that. Remember, the self-timer is a fantastic way to go ahead and initiate the exposure without jarring the camera. And if your camera has a two-second self-timer, makes it a little bit more convenient, then you only have to wait 2 seconds before it starts that exposure. And then the last thing I want to remind you about is that this is a situation where you want the ISO set low, not high. You're gonna have, you know, the exposure is gonna be as long as it needs to be. So you don't have to worry about that. Hopefully you have a fairly bright lens, so lots of lights coming in. But you don't need to have a high ISO just because you're inside, you know, a party interior or whatever, because the camera's set. The camera's on. And so by keeping that ISO low, keep it down to 100 or 200, you get a higher quality image. It'll generate less heat during the exposure, which keeps the noise and so forth down. And the shot will just look better. It'll just be more colorful, more vibrant. So low ISO, steady the camera, bring your micro tripod. Have fun. If you want to geek out and you've got a, you know, some kind of cool remote situation or even a trigger trap or something, use that. But if you don't have that, go ahead and use your self-timer and get some of these shots. They really kind of spice up the whole holiday, you know, photo album. You get a couple in there and I guarantee you, you'll get some oohs and ahs. Well, that's a nice segue into our photo assignment. Is high ISO for the month. You have to the end of the month. So, you know, that, you know, what you do for your photo assignment will not be, you know, your long exposure on a little tripod thing, right? That'll be something else. But you're going to have lots of opportunities for that too. So anyway, high ISO is our photo assignment for the month. And our photo assignment is sponsored by SizzlePix at sizzlepix.com, SizzlePix. SizzlePix.com. They also have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. High definition output. It's really, it's like a retina display that you can hang on the wall and really show off your stuff. And they're just absolutely beautiful. And if you get, you know, when we're talking about these long exposure shots and some of these photo opportunities that you're going to have during the holidays, hopefully you're going to have, then keep in mind that, you know, vibrant images are particularly stunning as SizzlePix, you know, because that polished aluminum will really make that image, you know, pop. So keep that in mind. If you get a home run shot, if you get a winner that you really love, You might want to think about sizzling it and then putting it on the wall. And then you can enjoy, you know, not only, you know, the good feeling that comes from that shot, whatever's associated with it, but then also your artistry for the whole year. And, you know, that, boy, talk about keeping the holiday spirit all year round. That would do it. That will help. Come home and you see that above the couch. You go, you know what? Wasn't such a bad day after all. All right. So that's our friends at Sizzlepick, SizzlePix.com. And they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And I also want to mention our longtime running sponsor at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages that take you to the Red River landing page, Red River Paper landing page. And they also have a rocking Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And I have been printing up a storm, I tell you. So here we are. I'm recording this on Monday, the 23rd, December 23rd. Family activities begin, you know, the evening of the 24th. And then my stuff goes for like a week because... then there's Christmas Day. And then my parents, their anniversary is on December 27th. 60 years. They have been married 60 years. Just blows my mind. So I'm going down to Southern California to celebrate the 60-year anniversary with my parents. So that's going to be after Christmas. We're going to do that. And I'll be down there with my sister and my brother and the rest of my family. And so, and then, so instead of, you know, mailing our Christmas gift or so forth, we're just going to bring it down. So then we're going to have, you know, a little gift exchange down there also. So I've got like holiday week here for sure. And then right after that, of course, is New Year's. So I have been printing like mad because, you know, prints and artisan cards just make excellent gifts. And, you know, the thing that I like to do, if I'm going to give someone a gift card for the holidays, then yes, I mean, I love getting gift cards too, especially if you give me a Starbucks card. I really, really like that. I do. Because you know what I do? I have Starbucks on my iPhone. So if you give me a card, then I get to, however much is on that card, I get to add that to my iPhone account. And I love seeing a nice big fat number there when I walk into Starbucks and go to pay for my drink with my iPhone. Anyway, so, you know, gift cards are fantastic, things like that. But I think what really makes it nice is if you get to put that gift card in either an artisan card that you made on Red River paper or accompany it with a print. Something that you were able to produce out of the inkjet printer. And you can, you know, the prints don't even have to go into frames. I did some the other day where I have these lovely little cardboard holders that I put them in. So I just think having a photograph, you know, you're a photographer. I just think having a photograph to accompany the sentiment or the gift card, it just really finishes it off. It really gives it that nice personal touch. If you're going to push something out of your inkjet printer, then I highly recommend Red River paper. It'll save you money. It's beautiful stuff. And they're good people. It's a good combination, isn't it? You'll save about 40% because they make the paper and they sell the paper. And again, any of the tiles on the digital, I mean, any of the pages on the digital store, you see Red River paper. Click on that. That'll take you to our landing page. Go to their Facebook page, Red River Paper, fantastic quality stuff at a great price, and the longest running sponsor of the digital story. Okay, I think that's going to do it for this week. Next week, we'll do our end of year show. I'm not exactly sure which of my many ideas I'm going to do for that. And then I'm going to have some announcements also next week because we have got some stuff going on in 2014, I tell you. It's really exciting. And I'm not even going to, I want to talk about so much right now, but I'm not going to. But I think I might tip my hand a bit next week. So make sure you come to the year-end show next week. And thanks for tuning in this week. On to the holidays. See you next week for the year-end show. Get some good shots. Take care now. Happy holidays.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.